Is demonic deliverance ministry valid? What is the difference between demonic possession and demonic oppression? What are some of the causes of demonic influences? This week we discuss that and more in our continued study on spiritual warfare on this episode of Connecting the Gap. We continue our series, The Battle Within, Overcoming the Invisible War. This week we are in part 16, and we'll be back right after this and a word from our sponsor.
That it is darkest right before the dawn. So remember, no matter what battle you are facing, what war is raging, the dawn is coming. Prepare for battle. Prepare for victory.
Be sure to visit my sponsor's website at wearewarriorsapparel.com. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Connecting the Gap. I'm Daniel Moore. Thank you for coming once again this week, as we are very quickly coming to the end of our series. We have this week and one more episode next week, and we're going to be done with this study that we've been doing on spiritual warfare. Hope you guys have caught all of this. I do want to tell you, if you haven't been able to listen to every episode, you can do that if you've never subscribed to the podcast. Go to connectingthegap.net. That's my website. You can check out there the podcasting platforms that you can actually subscribe on. You can go back and listen to all the episodes. And if you're on YouTube, if you like to use YouTube, you can go on there, and I have a playlist actually set up with all the episodes from this series in it. And so you can go ahead and stream it there as well and just binge listen to every episode from the very first one. So please go check that out. If you haven't subscribed, please do. They tell me that helps our algorithms and helps our ministry here to grow and our reach to expand its borders. I don't know how accurate that really is, but we'll give it a shot. I just like for you guys to subscribe if you can. I have a lot of listeners that don't subscribe, and if you do that, you'll get notifications each week as a new episode lands, and that way you won't miss anything here from Connecting the Gap. My transcripts are also on my website for this episode and the other ones in this series, and check out my merch shop while you're there as well. And get yourself some Connecting the Gap merch. Well, as I said, we are quickly wrapping up this series of The Battle Within. This week, we're in part 16. You know, as Christians, we never want Satan to break through our defenses and take up residency inside of us. We never want Satan to get inside and disrupt the plan of God in our lives. But here's a question. What if he is already in? What if we put up the shield too late or didn't pick up our armor when we should have? You know, taking a preventative solution against diseases doesn't really work when the disease has already done its damage. We have to be proactive. It wouldn't do us any good to talk about spiritual warfare without talking about demonic deliverance. You know, there's a lot of people today that would rather deny that demonic possession even exists. You know what they don't think exists? Well, they don't have to deal with it. They feel that there is so much confusion and controversy surrounding the subject, they just try to avoid it altogether. Well, the first thing that we have to determine is whether deliverance ministry is valid, especially if it is valid for today. Well, as Christians, being like Christ means imitating his actions, teachings, and characteristics. Therefore, if one of the defining characteristics of a Christian is to be like Christ, it follows that deliverance is still valid for us today. Because just as Jesus consistently set people free from spiritual bondage, Christians are called to follow his example and participate in the ministry of deliverance, praying for and assisting in the freedom of those that are oppressed by evil spirits. In the Bible, there's many instances where Jesus demonstrated his authority and power over the demonic forces of that day. In Mark chapter 1, verse 23 to 27, Jesus demonstrated his authority and power by delivering a man with an unclean spirit. This passage confirmed the regularity of Jesus' ministry of deliverance. When Jesus entered the synagogue, there was a man with an unclean spirit who cried out, acknowledging Jesus as the Holy One of God. Jesus, recognizing the spirit's presence, rebuked it and commanded it to come out of the man. The unclean spirit obeyed and left the man with a loud shriek. Later on in Mark chapter 1, verse 39, we see that Jesus' ministry of deliverance was not limited to one specific instance. It states that Jesus went throughout all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This verse emphasizes the continuous nature of Jesus' deliverance ministry. Wherever Jesus went, he taught and demonstrated his authority over the demonic, setting people free from their torment. And it doesn't stop there. Various other passages in the Gospels also describe instances of Jesus exercising his ministry of deliverance. For example, in Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 20, there Jesus encountered a man possessed by a legion of demons in the region of the Gerasenes. Jesus commands the demons to come out of the man and sends them into a herd of pigs. That man is then found sitting clothed and in his right mind, demonstrating the complete transformation brought about by Jesus' deliverance. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 31 to 37, Jesus drives out an unclean spirit from a man in Capernaum, proving his authority over the demonic forces. And similarly, in Matthew chapter 8, 28 to 34, Jesus frees two demon-possessed men in the region of the Gadarenes, allowing them to become sane and restored. Now, you may be saying at this point, well, yeah, that's Jesus. He's the Son of God. He has the authority to deliver people from demonic oppression. Well, we also have to remember that in the Bible, the apostles exercised this ministry as well, and it wasn't just occasionally. They exercised it often. After Jesus gave his disciples authority and sent them out in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, they also exercised the ministry of deliverance regularly. The disciples had some hiccups along the way also. In Mark chapter 9, verse 38 to 40, the disciples encounter a man whose son is possessed by a spirit that often throws him into convulsions. The disciples try to cast out the spirit, but are unable to do so. When Jesus arrives, he rebukes the spirit and sets the boy free, reaffirming the need for faith in operating in deliverance ministry. This incident suggests that the disciples were regularly engaged in the ministry of deliverance, although they did face occasional challenges. In the early church, the ministry of deliverance was also prevalent. In Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 13, there is a sorcerer there named Simon, who practices magic and amazes the people of Samaria. However, when Philip arrives and preaches the message of the kingdom of God, many people believe and they were baptized. Simon himself also believed and was baptized. This passage demonstrates that deliverance was commonly associated with the preaching of the gospel, resulting in the liberation of individuals from spiritual bondage. In Acts chapter 13, verse 8 through 11, Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, encounters a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus, or Elymas. Recognizing the opposition against the gospel, Paul rebukes Elymas, saying, "You are full of all deceit and villainy, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness. Will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?" Immediately, darkness falls upon Elymas, and he becomes blind. This incident showcases Paul's authority in confronting spiritual opposition and delivering a person from spiritual darkness. Similarly, in Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 18, Paul and Silas encounter a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. This girl brought her owners much profit through fortune-telling. As they were proclaiming the gospel, Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." The spirit immediately left her. This event shows the early church's familiarity with deliverance and their reliance on the power and authority of Jesus' name to set individuals free from demonic influence. In Acts 19:19, the new believers in Ephesus, after embracing the gospel and experiencing the Holy Spirit, they were convicted of their past practices involving magic and occultism. As a response, they collected their valuable books on magic and burned them publicly. This demonstrates their recognition of the need to renounce and disassociate themselves from any involvement with evil spirits, embracing the freedom and the power found in Christ Jesus. The apostles understood that deliverance was an integral part of their calling and their mission, enabling individuals to be set free from the bondage of demonic influences and experience the transformative power of God. Throughout the first four centuries of the church, references to demonic deliverance indicate that it remained a normal occurrence in the early Christian community. Early church fathers such as Justin Martyr, Tertullian, Origen, and Athanasius provide insights into the ongoing ministry of deliverance during that time. Justin Martyr, who was a Christian philosopher and apologist of the second century, he wrote about the existence of evil spirits and their ability to possess individuals. In his first apology, Justin mentions that certain of the possessed individuals among the Christians were healed through the prayers of the believers. Tertullian, a theologian of the late 2nd and early 3rd centuries, also acknowledged the reality of demonic possession and the effectiveness of deliverance ministry. In his treatise titled On the Soul, Tertullian argued against those who denied the existence of evil spirits, presenting cases of demon-possessed individuals being cured by Christians through prayer and exorcism. Origen, a prominent Christian scholar of the 3rd century, discussed the subject of demonic possession and the power of the name of Jesus to deliver individuals. In his work against Celsus, Origen presents examples of the early Christians successfully freeing people from demonic influences through prayer. In Athanasius, an influential theologian and church father of the 4th century, wrote extensively about spiritual warfare and the battle against demonic forces. In his work titled On the Incarnation, Athanasius emphasized that deliverance from evil spirits was an ongoing reality in the Christian community. These references from early church fathers indicate that the ministry of deliverance and its necessity for the spiritual well-being of believers remained a common occurrence throughout the early centuries of the church. The early Christians recognized the reality of demonic influence and actively engaged in the spiritual battle, relying on the power and authority of Jesus' name to set individuals free. So let's say some professed witches and Satan worshipers made their way into your church services at some point. How would you respond to that? What if one of those spiritual captives came to you for some help? Would you explain to them that spiritual deliverance doesn't happen anymore today? I mean, surely God has a plan for delivering people from the demonic clutches of Satan. We have to be prepared. The New Testament provides direction on how to handle situations involving demonic influence. James 4, verses 1 through 10 addresses the need to resist the devil and draw near to God, as well as the importance of repentance and submission to God. This passage emphasizes the need to address the influence of evil in our lives and seek God's help in overcoming it. In situations where individuals are experiencing demonic possession or influence, it is crucial to have people and ministries prepared and in place to help. The ministry of deliverance, when conducted in alignment with biblical principles, can be an essential resource for those in need of liberation from spiritual bondage. Churches and ministries that are equipped for deliverance typically have individuals who are knowledgeable about spiritual warfare, well-grounded in biblical truth, and are guided by the Holy Spirit. These individuals may have received training and experience in discerning and addressing demonic manifestations. They rely on the power and authority of Jesus Christ, utilizing prayer, the Word of God, and the leading of the Holy Spirit in their ministry. It is important to approach deliverance ministry with sensitivity, discernment, and in the context of a loving and supportive community. An atmosphere of faith, prayer, and reliance on God's guidance is crucial in these situations. Churches and ministries should also be proactive in establishing clear protocols and safeguards to ensure that deliverance is conducted in a safe and responsible manner. While you as a believer may not be directly involved in deliverance ministry, the entire body of Christ can play a role in providing support, prayer, and encouragement to those engaged in this ministry. As members of the body of Christ, we are called to support and uplift those who are struggling with spiritual oppression, offering them hope, intercession, and practical assistance. To be honest, there are a lot of problems with the practice of deliverance. One of the main problems with the practice of deliverance is the potential for extremism and fanaticism. Extreme beliefs or behaviors can lead to an unbalanced and harmful approach to this ministry. Extremism and deliverance can lead to a lack of discernment when it comes to identifying genuine cases of spiritual oppression and possession. This can result in individuals being wrongly labeled as possessed or in need of deliverance, causing unnecessary fear and distress. Extremist practitioners often focus heavily on the demonic world, attributing every problem or issue to demonic influence. This narrow viewpoint can overshadow the importance of addressing psychological, emotional, or physical factors contributing to a person's struggles. Fanaticism and deliverance ministry can lead to a tendency to bypass addressing the underlying psychological or emotional issues faced by individuals. Instead of addressing root causes, deliverance becomes a one-size-fits-all solution, which may not be beneficial in the long run. Another problem that pops up is there can be confusion over the terms possession and oppression when it comes to discussing demonic influence. The specific terminology used in the New Testament can vary depending on the translation and interpretation. However, it is important to understand the general concepts behind these terms. While the New Testament does not explicitly differentiate between possession and oppression, many scholars and theologians draw a distinction based on the intensity of demonic influence. With possession, this term is often used to describe a severe level of demonic influence in which the individual's faculties and control are completely taken over by a demon or evil spirit. The possessed person may exhibit dramatic and involuntary behaviors, speech, or physical manifestations attributed to the demonic presence. Now, with oppression, on the other hand, it's seen as a milder form of demonic influence in which individuals experience spiritual attack but still maintain control over their faculties. This form of influence may manifest through persistent negative thoughts, emotions, or external circumstances attributed to a demonic presence. Sometimes, though, Christians have a hard time discerning between the two. Some Christians steer clear around this issue because of ignorance or fear when it comes to the ministry of deliverance. There can be various reasons for this, including cultural or theological biases, misunderstandings, or personal discomfort with the topic. Deliverance ministry may not be widely taught or discussed in certain Christian circles, leading to a lack of awareness or understanding. This can result in ignorance or misconceptions about its purpose, methods, and potential benefits. And that's one of the issues that I think probably is very prevalent today. A lot of churches do not teach it. Different Christian denominations or cultural backgrounds may also have varying beliefs and practices regarding spiritual warfare and deliverance. Some may view it as unnecessary, superstitious, or even dangerous due to their theological or cultural biases. The topic of demonic influence or spiritual battles can be unsettling for some individuals, leading to fear or discomfort. This fear can stem from personal experiences, cultural influences, or a reluctance to engage with what is perceived as the supernatural world. Another problem that can occur is the tendency towards pride or scriptural error can be a challenge within the context of deliverance ministry. Engaging in deliverance ministry requires a deep understanding of spiritual warfare and the power dynamics involved. Unfortunately, some individuals in this ministry may develop a sense of pride or arrogance, believing they possess special insights or abilities that set them apart. This can lead to a neglect of humility and a lack of recognition that deliverance is ultimately the work of God, not solely dependent on human efforts. While deliverance ministry can be grounded in biblical principles, there is a risk of misinterpreting or misapplying scriptures. This can occur when practitioners become overly focused on specific verses or passages related to deliverance, which may result in a neglect of broader biblical context and theological understanding. It is crucial for deliverance ministers to maintain a balanced and comprehensive interpretation of Scripture. There is also a potential danger of attributing every negative aspect of life solely to demonic influence. It is crucial to maintain a balanced perspective that acknowledges personal responsibility, the role of common sense, and the complexity of various factors influencing our lives. While there are instances where demonic influence may play a role, it is essential to recognize that individuals also have personal responsibility for their actions, decisions, and the consequences of their choices. Blaming everything solely on demonic influence can absolve individuals of accountability, hindering personal growth and development. The Bible provides principles for wise living, decision-making, and discernment. Practicing biblical common sense involves seeking wisdom, making informed choices, utilizing discernment, and being aware of the potential effects of our actions. It is important to remember that not everything negative is automatically linked to demonic influence, and applying biblical wisdom can guide us in navigating various aspects of our life. Sticking to Scripture is crucial when engaging in deliverance ministry or addressing demonic forces. Scripture serves as our foundation for understanding spiritual warfare and provides guidance on how to approach such situations. Scripture affirms the authority and power of God over all spiritual entities, including demonic forces. It reveals God's character, His redemptive plan, and His victory over evil through Jesus Christ. By aligning our understanding and practices with Scripture, we operate in the authority and power given to us by God. Scripture also offers discernment and wisdom in distinguishing between demonic influence and other factors affecting individuals. It provides principles for evaluating and testing the spirits, ensuring that our actions and beliefs are aligned with God's truth rather than being swayed by subjective experiences or human speculations. Scripture provides a balanced understanding of spiritual warfare, addressing both the reality of demonic influence and the importance of personal responsibility and discernment. It cautions against being excessively focused on demons while emphasizing the fullness of God's provision for our spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. Grounding our beliefs and practices in Scripture is essential when battling demonic forces in people's lives. It provides the necessary foundation, discernment, wisdom, balance, and protection to navigate the complexities of deliverance ministry while maintaining a steadfast faith in God. If we always stick with Scripture, we will always stay on track and will be able to know what spiritual conflict is and what it isn't, and will know how to deal with it appropriately. So with that out of the way, what are some of the causes of demonic influences? Well, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll discuss that and get deeper into this week's episode of Connecting the Gap. We are in part 16, and we'll be back right after this.
One of Satan's favorite lies is you've lost your salvation. This lie is directly contrary to the promise of Jesus Christ when he says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." The Bible says that when we are saved, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and nothing can remove us from God's hands. There may be times in your life when it's hard to believe that promise. Jesus loves you enough to die for your sins and to save you. If you want to learn how to begin a relationship with Jesus, call or text us at 888-NEED-HIM.
Out what to eat, say I'll get by,
I'll get by,
I'll get by,
I'll get by.
Welcome back to Connecting the Gap podcast. I'm Daniel Moore, and this week we're in part 16 of our series on the battle within, overcoming the invisible war, our study on spiritual warfare. We got one more week to go after this week. And as we was going into the break, we were beginning to talk about what are some of the causes of demonic influences. Well, there are levels of demonic influence and possession. While there can be varying degrees of demonic influence, it is important to recognize the term possession itself carries different connotations and interpretations. Within a Christian context, I do not believe that a true Christian can be quote-unquote possessed by a demon. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life precludes the possibility of full possession. Light drives out darkness. They cannot cohabit with each other. However, there is recognition that demonic activity can still affect and influence Christians in various ways. One path of demonic possession is called active seeking. This can occur when individuals intentionally involve themselves in occult practices, witchcraft, divination, or any form of spiritual activity that directly or indirectly invites demonic influence. These can include things such as Satanism, Wicca, yoga, palm reading, Ouija boards, and many other avenues of serving Satan. And while we're on this subject, I don't know if you've seen here lately, but you can go on Amazon now and buy a quote-unquote Christian Ouija board. Now, there is no difference between a Ouija board that's a Christian one than one that is not a Christian Ouija board. So you need to stay away from both of those, because both of those invite satanic influence into your life, and they will definitely put you on that path to demonic possession if you aren't careful. Engaging in such practices like this goes against biblical teachings that warn against participating in or seeking supernatural powers or knowledge outside of God. It is important to note that the Bible explicitly prohibits involvement in witchcraft, divination, sorcery, or any form of occult practices in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 through 12, Galatians 5, verse 20, and Acts chapter 19, verses 18 through 20. When individuals actively seek demonic influences, they willingly expose themselves to spiritual forces that operate outside the safety of God's goodness and truth. These actions can lead to spiritual bondage, oppression, or even potential possession. It is crucial for individuals who have previously engaged in occult practices or have actively sought demonic influence to seek repentance, renounce those practices, and turn to God for forgiveness, healing, and deliverance. Seeking spiritual guidance, accountability, and support from mature Christian and wise Christian leaders, it is important in the process of breaking free from these influences and experiencing restoration. Sin can also create a pathway for demonic influence, as mentioned in John chapter 8, verse 34, and John chapter 8, verse 44. In John 8, 44, Jesus states that Satan is the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. He also describes Satan as a murderer and the source of deception. When individuals engage in sinful behavior, they open themselves up to the influence and power of Satan and his demonic forces. Sin can provide a foothold or legal ground for spiritual attack and oppression. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 to 27, the Apostle Paul warns against giving the devil a foothold through unresolved anger and sinful actions. Similarly, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it encourages believers to be sober-minded and vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Engaging in habitual sin, unrepented wrongdoing, or persistent disobedience to God's commands can create an environment where demonic forces can gain influence and control over a person's life. It is important to recognize the dangers of sin and actively strive to live in obedience to God's word. Spiritual rebellion, or a deliberate willingness to sin, is also another cause for demonic influence in a person's life. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, it says, "For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." This verse reveals the connection between rebellion against God and the presence of evil or demonic influences. In this context, King Saul disobeyed God's specific command by by sparing the Amalekite king and the best of their livestock, although God had instructed Saul to utterly destroy everything. Saul's disobedience is seen as rebellion against God's authority and his rejection of God's word. From this verse, we can gather two important points. The first point is rebellion as the sin of divination. The word divination refers to the act of seeking supernatural knowledge or guidance from demonic sources rather than from God. It involves turning away from God's commands and seeking wisdom and direction from evil entities. By equating rebellion and divination, the verse suggests that rebellion against God's commands opens a door for demonic influence or possession. When individuals rebel against God, they may unknowingly invite demonic forces into their lives, often through seeking power, guidance, or alternative sources of spirituality outside of God's will. The second point we can get from this verse is that presumption as iniquity and idolatry. Presumption refers to acting arrogantly or with pride, assuming that one's own desires or opinions are superior to God's will. This verse equates presumption with iniquity and idolatry, both of which involve placing something or someone above God and disobeying his commands. By showing disrespect or disregard for God's authority, individuals create an environment that may attract demonic influence or possession. When people prioritize their own desires or beliefs, rejecting God's wisdom and commands, they become susceptible to the deceptive allure of demonic influences. By rejecting God's authority and seeking alternatives or prioritizing self above God, individuals open themselves up to the influence and the control of dark forces. It serves as a warning against the dangers of spiritual rebellion and reaffirms the importance of obedience, humility, and reverence towards God for his protection against demonic possession. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 through 11, we read the scripture earlier. It says, "Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead." These verses clearly describe several occult practices that are considered detestable to God. It is a warning against engaging in these activities, as they can invite the enemy's influence and open us up to spiritual warfare. The presence of an invisible war is a concept found throughout the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 confirms this by saying, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." These individual spiritual forces are actively working against God and his people. When individuals participate in occult practices, they directly align themselves with these dark spiritual forces, and by engaging in divination, sorcery, witchcraft, or using mediums or spiritists to communicate with the dead, individuals invite the influence and control of demonic entities into their lives. These practices go against God's command, and they can lead to spiritual bondage and torment. The warning in Deuteronomy 18, verse 10 through 11 serves as a reminder for believers to be aware of the invisible war taking place around you. It urges us to stay away from practices that are contrary to God's will and pleasing to the enemy. Instead, we are called to put on the full armor of God, as described in Ephesians 6, 13 through 18, equipping ourselves to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. In Proverbs 4, verses 3 through 9, it says that when I was a boy in my father's house, still tender, and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, "Lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown." This passage emphasizes the importance of instructing our children in the ways of the Lord and imparting godly wisdom to them. It is crucial to guide our children in discerning between what aligns with God's truth and what may promote occult or supernatural elements. As parents, guardians, or mentors, we need to take an active role in nurturing our children's spiritual growth. It involves teaching them to focus on the wisdom found in God's Word and to keep His commands. By instilling a strong foundation of biblical understanding and values in children, we equip them to discern what is right and pleasing in God's sight. When instructing kids, it is important to emphasize the significance of seeking wisdom, understanding, and discernment from God. Proverbs 4:7 explicitly states, "The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom." We should encourage children to seek wisdom through prayer, studying the Bible, and seeking wise counsel from mature Christian believers. Teaching children to honor and cherish godly wisdom provides them with protection and guidance. Proverbs 4:6 says, "Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you." This scripture assures us that godly wisdom acts as a safeguard against the deceptive allure of paranormal or occult influences. Through instructing our children in the ways of the Lord, we help them develop a strong spiritual foundation, enabling them to make informed choices in their entertainment and daily lives. While it may seem challenging to navigate the prevalence of the paranormal in kids' media, it is our responsibility to guide our children, helping them discern what is in line with God's truth and avoid what may lead them away from Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14-16 states, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God." These verses show us the importance of being cautious about forming close associations and partnership with unbelievers who may have conflicting beliefs and values. While the specific context of this passage is about believers' relationships with non-believers, it can also apply to avoiding those who engage in dangerous or occult activities. Now, one of the most common causes of demonic influence is unresolved anger and bitterness. Ephesians 4:26-27 provides wise guidance. It says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." This passage of Scripture emphasizes the need to address and resolve anger before the day ends, rather than allowing it to fester and potentially become a stronghold for negative influences, including demonic influence. Unresolved anger and bitterness not only harms relationships, but it also opens the door for the enemy to gain a foothold in an individual's life. By promptly addressing and resolving anger, believers close the door for the devil to exploit those negative emotions. It encourages healthy conflict resolution, forgiveness, and positive communication, therefore safeguarding against the potential influence of evil forces. Discerning if something is demonic can definitely be complex. It requires careful consideration of various factors and close alignment with biblical principles. While some things are not inherently demonic, in certain cases they may indicate possible signs of demonic influence. Let's look at a few things here as we close today that could be demonic in some cases. The first one is severe sickness. In Matthew 12:22, Jesus heals a man with a severe demon-induced sickness. While not all sickness is demonic in nature, certain cases can have a spiritual dimension tied to them. It is essential to seek medical advice and prayerfully discern if there may be spiritual warfare or demonic aspects involved, especially if the sickness is unexplained or resistant to conventional treatment. Another thing is divination. In Acts 16:16, this verse recounts the story of a girl who had a spirit of divination. Divination involves seeking supernatural knowledge through occult practices. The presence of divination suggests a possible connection to evil spiritual forces. Engaging in divination or encountering those involved in it may indicate exposure to demonic influences and the need for spiritual discernment and prayer. Another one is unusual strength. In Mark chapter 5, verse 2-3, a man possessed by demons displays unnatural strength, breaking chains and being unable to be bound. While unusual strength on its own is not necessarily demonic, When it is accompanied by other signs of possession and aligns with biblical descriptions, it can indeed be an indicator of demonic influence. Another one are fits of rage. In Mark chapter 5, verse 4, the man possessed by demons in this passage frequently experiences fits of rage, exhibiting violent behavior. While fits of rage can have various causes, obviously, if accompanied by other signs of demonic influence and extreme behavior, it may be an indication of spiritual warfare. Another one is split personality. In Mark chapter 5, verse 6 through 7, there was a possessed man in that story that spoke with a quote-unquote legion of voices, suggesting a split personality due to demonic influence. Split personalities, or multiple voices within an individual, can indicate the presence of demonic forces. Another one is resistance to spiritual help. In Mark chapter 5, verse 7, the demons in that passage show resistance to Jesus' authority and spiritual deliverance. Similarly, encountering an individual who resists or rejects spiritual help despite evident issues or the presence of harmful influence may suggest spiritual forces at work. And the seventh thing are occult powers. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 through 11, these verses outline various occult activities detestable to God. While possessing occult powers alone does not always indicate a severe demonic influence, it can be a sign of involvement with spiritual practices that are contrary to God's will. Engaging in occult activities opens individuals up to potential demonic influence and should always be avoided. You know, it always isn't easy to get to the bottom of a problem or a conflict. We must make sure that we carefully evaluate all the physical factors and sift through the emotional issues, but sometimes the spiritual overlaps in such a way that doesn't allow for purely medical or psychological explanations. Our issues are easily traceable to the logical progression of things. You know, like we're stressed because we haven't gotten enough sleep, or we're in a conflict because of clearly dysfunctional relationships. But it isn't always that simple. Sometimes we need to ask if the enemy is at work behind the scenes of our lives. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Connecting the Gap as we wrap up episode 16 of our study on spiritual warfare, the battle within, overcoming the invisible war. You can check out my website at Connecting the Gap to check out all the episodes in this series, or of course, all the episodes that are on my podcast pages for the last 3 years. Go check out all of those if you haven't check those out before. If you're new to this podcast, please subscribe and share. And of course, while you're there, you can visit my merch shop and also check out the transcripts for this week's episode and the episodes that have been prior to this one in this series. Well, I'm out of here for this week. Until next week, don't forget that God's word never fails us. God's word has stood the test of time, and through Jesus' death on the cross, he has connected the gap.
You've been listening to Connecting the Gap podcast. I'm Daniel Moore, the host for this podcast, and I personally thank you for listening each week. In this world, there are many disconnects that cause chaos in our lives. This podcast is birthed from the desire to share hope and restoration of the power of the gospel by being transparent and open in our biblical walk with God. Each week, we take a few moments as we navigate God's word and peer into other people's testimonies and encourage each other to connect the gap. We upload a new audio podcast every Thursday and a video version of it on YouTube and Rumble. We are also on the Christian podcasting app Edify. You can subscribe to our podcast on many of the available podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Deezer, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and many more. We are also available on your Alexa-enabled devices. If you would like to give us feedback or would like to contact our ministry for any reason, including prayer, visit our contact page at www.connectingthegap.net and send us a message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry. This is a production of Connecting the Gap Ministries.